As of right now, we are at war.
How desperate you call on such lost creatures to defend you?
How desperate am I? You threaten my world with war. You steal a force you can't hope to control. You talk about peace and you kill because it's fun. You have made me very desperate. You might not be glad that you did. There was an idea. Bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they can become something more. Like the battles that we never could.
Welcome to Fury's Finest, a podcast about Marvel Crisis Protocol and the Marvel Universe. My name is Jesse Aiken, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Bruffett. How are you doing today, Chris?
Jesse, I'm doing great. Just all kinds of MCP ideas just floating around in this unorganized brain of mine. Really thinking about what's next. Who am I playing next? Who am I going to start painting to be trying to play in the fall? It's very exciting. So if anyone has suggestions or wants to talk about it, feel free to hit me up. I'd love to chat about it. Maybe I can find some clarity in talking to you specifically. You.
Yeah, we can pick it. And we can pick that up in the After Dark too, right? And kind of expand on it.
Well, I meant you, listener, not you, Jesse.
I know. Good. Yeah. Maybe the listeners can give you some guidance and then we build the list live on the air like we like to do on After Dark. And
oh, gosh, that would be so fun.
I'll do the same with my new list too.
Ooh, buddy.
Yeah, I'm having similar thoughts, Chris, where it's like, how much can I get done before Dracula takes over, you know, is what I'm thinking.
Wait, Jesse, no one asked for Dracula.
No one. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm excited for Dracula as well. I'm very excited to see that card. I don't think it's a good idea for us to both be playing Dracula at the same time.
Sure.
So I'm going to leave him for you to begin with for sure. But I am very excited to play against it and then play it later.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I hope he's a leader of some sort just to experience that. But even if not, if he's sons or whatever and Elsa's right behind him, both of my plans just kind of come together where it's learning Midnight Suns and playing Dracula on the table. And picking up on your comment about no one wanted him, I looked at the whole timeline AMG gave us holistically after we recorded that episode too, because seemed like a lot of people online were really excited or they were really not nice about it. They're rude about it. Like, these are characters I don't know. I don't know Sunspot. I don't know Warlock. I don't know these monsters. But then you look at it and you're like, wait a second. Look at the whole timeline. AMG is literally sandwiching the more rare characters like the monsters and even Sunspot and Warlock, who are new mutants, with like massive releases with Angel, Apocalypse, like things that everybody knows. And then before that is Spider Foes and Web Warriors. You know what I mean? So when you look at the year as a whole, we're actually getting like a lot of crowd pleasers, mainly crowd pleasers. AMG just decided to do something really, I think, exceptional and off the beaten path in one little season of the fall.
Well, I applaud AMG for it. Of course, you listener, if you're not excited about Dracula, that's okay, man. It's seriously okay. We're all allowed to be excited about different things, but just understand there are folks out there very excited for Dracula, and the two hosts of this show are among their number.
Absolutely. I think Man-Thing's been like one of our number ones.
We've talked about Man-Thing for years.
Yeah. Years and years, number one. So, and don't worry, if you don't know about Warlock and Sunspot, you're going to learn from us.
Self-Friend is very excited to teach you about Warlock.
It's very exciting. And I think those will be really good episodes. But I just wanted to point out that fact, like, of that AMG is giving us Asgard, Web Warriors, Spider Foes, Apocalypse, a lot of the first class mutants. And then they just happen to throw in two new mutants and some monsters. And people are like, it's so obscure. And you're like, nope, most of the year is just Marvel pillars.
And can I just say, the New Mutants are not obscure.
No.
They were massive in the 90s.
Absolutely.
Massive. They are very much not obscure. They have not had a front seat in Marvel for quite some time. But during
the 90s, treat it that way.
They were absolutely massive. And give us Mirage, you cowards.
I'm sure she's coming.
Oh, I know.
I'm sure.
Tongue firmly in cheek there.
Absolutely. So I'm just asking people that have that mindset just to look at the year as a whole and be like, oh, it is mainly Pillars of Marvel releases and they're just going off the beaten path for a second. And what do you know? We don't even know what they're releasing the beginning of next year all the way. They're probably releasing something that's a column of Marvel as well after they drop Elsa and stuff. And they just had this little stint of exciting lower level characters in Marvel that to me makes it more exciting because they always get more room to play with these characters too, from a gamification standpoint.
Absolutely. And honestly, I like B, C-list characters.
Yeah, for
sure. Those are my favorite characters.
And is Elsa Bloodstone even a C-list character now?
Man.
She's creeping up on like B+, right?
Is she? I don't know. I mean, I'm not caught up.
And obviously, Blade's in the game. And you guys know how much we talked about Dracula in the Blade episode alone.
Yeah.
Is unreal. So I'm not saying that like Dracula and Elsa are top of Marvel, but they're absolutely someone's favorite character and they're some of mine.
Well, and they were big deals at one point in Marvel. And
yeah, and so, they're huge in their stories, right? Like they are the Captain Americas in their stories.
Well,
their universes.
What I mean by big deal is they sold issues.
Good shout out. Yeah, yeah.
They moved issues. Just because they're not right now doesn't mean they never have and they never will again. So just keep all that in mind, man. With Marvel, it is very much a pendulum swinging. Everyone hates mutants. Everyone loves mutants. Everyone hates Inhumans. Everyone still hates Inhumans. It changes.
The pendulum just can't changes. poor Inhumans.
Poor Inhumans.
Black Bolt and Medusa are real cool characters.
Yes. Karnak is too, but we don't have Karnak here.
But every time AMG does something like this, when they're like, hey, we're releasing Sunspot and Warlock, I'm like, that is so great. You know why? That just confirmed I'm getting Jubilee one day, right? So I'm getting my movie popcorn experience, and then I'm getting my more like cinema experience over here. And they're both completely valid. They're both great. And I'm not worried about Jubilee now. You know what I mean? But I think people take it the other way. People are like, wait, why are we getting Warlock over Jubilee? And you're like, no, that's not the way we should think about this. The way we should think about this is the way the Wills have told us. They have a 10-15 year plan for this game. And obviously, Jubilee is an important release that they're going to save for a certain moment.
We also just don't know the restrictions placed on them by Marvel.
No.
But I will say, if you are not familiar with Sunspot, just watch a little X-Men 97. Roberto Da Costa, episode 1, baby.
Yeah. He is all over the place right now. So
very cool.
All those arguments go out the window on where Sunspot's been.
That's not going to stop the angry folks from making those arguments because they're angry about misplaced anger is a heck of a drug.
100%. And we're about to get Sandman and Vulture and Shocker and like all these.
Who knows these characters? This is ridiculous.
Who's heard of these guys?
This is ridiculous, dude.
We're about to complete the entire Sinister Six. Why?
I'm so mad.
Why? And that's what I'm trying to say here is I'm trying to say that I am so static about this year because we are getting Pillars of the Mutants, Pillars of the Web Warrior Spider-Man universe with these spider villains and even Ben Reilly and stuff. But then we're also going off the beaten path. We're getting Dracula. We're getting Werewolf by Night. We're getting Gwinnom. We're getting things that you don't have to buy, but they exist in the game in an exciting space that is Marvel, which is very broad.
It absolutely is. But Jesse, we've got to move on. We have an episode to do here, man. So I'm going to get to some business. Fury's Finest is supported by Mr. Laser. Go to mr-laser.square.site for all of your Marvel Crisis Protocol needs. And please remember to use the discount code FURY5, one word, the numeral 5 at the end, at checkout. Go ahead, get the pre-orders for those spider foes because they're going
to
be sweet.
So sweet. I'm trying to think of a way to get Sandman in every list right now as we speak. That's what I've been actually thinking about a lot. So get that pre-order with Mr. Laser. It means a lot. Of course, iWarGame makes the best marked mats for MCP in the business. We highly recommend checking them out. Getting more games on the table easier is the greatest way to play this game. You can go to iWarGame.net and use our code FFPODCAST to get 10% off the mats, which is great. And I will ask you to go there even more this particular month because iWarGame is running a sale this month on all their mats. So yes, our code FFPODCAST does stack with the sale. So for the month of April, just pick up all the mats, just pick them all up and you're going to save a ton of money and support someone that we think is one of the great community members of this wonderful community and helping this game be better.
Well said. And of course, this podcast is not possible without our wonderful patrons. You can become a Fury's Finest patron at patreon.com/Fury's Finest. If you enjoy the show, please, please, please consider supporting us. Please think about joining the Discord community, where you will gain access, of course, to chatting, the Fury's Secret League, as well as, you know, being able to vote on the painting gallery with no name. All things are really fun. The leagues are really starting to kick up.
Yeah, we've gotten so many leagues in the bag, and they just get better and better. And now's the perfect time to join, because we're setting up the new league, right? So get on the ground floor.
We got some big plans for this league, not going to lie.
Absolutely. And Patrick always runs such a tight ship, and impressed every time. And the leagues are fantastic. So get on the ground floor with that. And just get on the ground floor this year of MCP. We're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about in there, and a lot of stuff to list build together. And on top of that, Chris and I are trying to amp up the bonus feed this year with more content. And so another reason to join the Patreon and get that bonus feed of the podcast and get more Fury's Finest episodes, but after dark. Chris, being our Patreon segment, we got to thank some patrons that have signed up. Once again, we're getting through the backlog. I'm really excited to say these people's names. Thank you to Ryan P., Lucas S., and Stephen M.
Thank you so much, guys.
And, you know, a little nod to our community, but I mean, Lucas S., just won Adepticon.
Wow.
And casted our finals of the Fury Secret Warrior League alongside Patrick. So Lucas is a great member of our community.
Big yeah. Shout out. Big congrats.
Taking any event when Adepticon is a big deal. So
yes, it is.
And Chris, of course, we cannot do this show without our producer, Sean. Sean, thank you so much. Sean gets a shout out every episode because Sean has signed up for this tier.
And you can too. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean. All right, Chris, we haven't even talked about who we're getting into today, which is very exciting, but you probably read the title of the episode, and we're fully in our mutant sphere now, and we're talking about a really important lady today, Domino.
Yeah, the wine mom of X-Force.
That's what you said last time. I'm really excited to pick up on that point.
Domino's awesome.
Let's get right into it. Yeah.
Domino, of course, we all know Domino. She's got unnaturally, like literally actually white skin, not Caucasian skin. It is the color white. She's got that big black spot over her eye. The big spot tattooed over her eye denotes that she was an experiment. Of course, she's no longer an experiment. She's our favorite mercenary. Yeah, that's right. She's my favorite mercenary.
She's a good one.
She has the power of luck on her side. She is often associated with X-Force. I think she is almost as associated with X-Force as Cable at this point, maybe even more so because, you know, Wolverine had that stint of leading X-Force, and of course, Domino was right there with him. But yeah, Domino, very fun. She's an irreverent, sometimes selfish, but deep down heart of gold type gal. I'm a big fan. So let's get into her superpowers. As I mentioned, Domino has the power of luck. This power of luck is not just a stand and good things happen. It has to be an active kind of dangerous situation or working to a specific goal. So for instance, if a building were to start falling and she was under it, she's going to have to move. She has to take action to keep this building from crushing her. She's not just going to magically stand still and an open window is going to happen right where she's standing.
Yeah, the A-frame guy. That's not going to happen. Where it just falls perfectly.
Exactly. You know, she can walk into a casino. If she's wanting to make a lot of money that night, she's probably going to do it. But she has to actually take steps. It's not just a money falls onto her just because she thought about it type thing.
She can't be reckless, right?
Right. Well, she can be reckless.
She can be, but she's got to be active in all of her decisions.
Actively reckless. Exactly. Yeah. She's explored this power a lot. She has explored controlling it more, and there are times where she can, times where she can't. At some point, she's going to actively call down a lightning strike on some sentinels. She wasn't trying to make lightning happen. She was trying to make the sentinels go away, and lightning is what did it, right?
Wow.
On top of this, of course, she is expertly trained, wonderful hand-to-hand combatant, no healing factor or anything, but she's got the general mutant buff of strength and agility, all that stuff.
Yeah, and also multi-years of weapons training, right? On top of all these hand-to-hand combat and stuff. So she's developed skills on top of this superpower, right? Years of skills.
On top of being an accomplished linguist.
Ooh, that's a skill too.
That's cool. I wish I knew another language.
Agreed.
But yeah, Domino is, this is what she is. She's fun. She's often paired with Cable and or Deadpool. So her stories tend to be a little bit irreverent, a little bit violent. She's got no qualms with stealing from the rich to give to whoever she likes or herself, rich and or evil, folks that either don't deserve it or won't miss it type thing. And like I said, she's not a stranger to tough situations or violence. Domino is created by, and this is a writer we're talking about a lot through this little series because we're doing a lot of X-Force right now, but it's Fabian Nicieza and artist slash co-writer Rob Liefeld. Domino makes her first appearance in X-Force number 8 in March of 1992, but we first become aware of Domino in New Mutants 98. This is not the real Domino. This is the shapeshifter copycat taking her place, while Tolliver, whom we've talked about in both character episodes previous to this one, has got Domino basically chained up in his basement. So the entire first year of Domino being around and being in the X-Force and being with Cable in comics is actually copycat. And so we'll see Domino for real in X-Force number 8 in March of 92. So Jesse, let's get into her history. It's not going to take a terribly long time because she's been a secondary character for a while. So Domino, pre-comics appearance, this is kind of her origin story here. Domino is the result of a lot of government agencies. We're talking top secret breeding programs, perfect weapons, but not Weapon X. And she's part of a pretty large test group, but she is one of only two to survive the testing, the other being her little brother, which she will discover this much later. Her mother will help her escape this facility, even though she survived the testing, and we're not exactly sure if she's a true mutant or was imbued with mutant powers through this breeding program and genetic manipulation, etc., etc. But eventually she will escape and be raised by Father Rudolfo Boschelli in the Church of the Sacred Heart in Chicago. She will leave this sanctuary, this upbringing, and she will become a mercenary. Her luck powers really come into focus during this time at the church as she's going through adolescence, as she's growing up, and she learns how to manipulate them a little better. And of course, if you've literally got the power of luck on your side, in the Marvel 616 universe, there is a lot of mercenary work you can do.
Oh, yeah.
So one of her first jobs is to stop a remote-controlled warbot project called Operation Jericho. She's going to get through this fine, but eventually through this, she's going to meet and be assigned to protect Dr. Milo Thurman. Dr. Thurman and Domino are going to fall in love. They're going to get married. They're going to have a very cute backstory, wonderful nicknames for each other based on Shakespeare, all kinds of cool stuff. But on a raid on an AIM facility where Milo's being held, Domino and Milo are being held, Domino's going to escape, and it seems that Milo's not going to make it. It appears that he is killed in the aftermath of the explosion and altercation. We'll see if he shows back up someday. So this is going to bring us into Domino, the next phase of Domino's pre-comic career. We have mentioned the mercenary outfit Six-Pack, I think twice before on this show. She's going to be one of the founding members here of Six-Pack, and this will bring her into contact with Cable because, of course, as we mentioned in our last character episode, Cable will lead Six-Pack when he hits this particular timeline, in this time in the 616 universe. During her time in Six-Pack, this is when she's going to first encounter Strife. Of course, we've mentioned Strife is Cable's evil twin, clone, I should say, not twin. This is going to happen on missions in Afghanistan and again on a mission in Uruguay. Shortly after this is when Tolliver is going to replace Domino with Copycat, and we're going to get a full year of Domino being in X-Force. She doesn't join until the book changes to X-Force, when Cable fully takes over and transitions these kids from being high school students slash mutant training team into an elite quick response strike force. Cable will then contact Domino, bring her in, Copycat Domino here. But the intention is to bring Domino in as a field leader for Cable, kind of second in command, someone he can trust. And of course, Copycat does this, and we mentioned this, I think, a lot in the Deadpool episode, because Deadpool's kind of in on this. This is early Deadpool when he is working for Tolliver and is distinctly a bad guy and is intended to be a longtime antagonist of X-Force. But of course, he's going to get too popular and he's going to become a member of X-Force eventually. Eventually, Cable is going to realize that this is not the real Domino, and they're going to save the real Domino. Part of saving the real Domino means that Domino has to save all the X-Force team members. A little complicated to explain, but Cable's going to free her. The X-Force team is going to be scattered to the wind in various degrees of unconscious or kidnapped or what have you. So Domino is going to escape and then assemble this team that she's never met, and all have met her, a different version of her. It's awkward and interesting. This is when Domino is going to become the X-Force wine mom. Okay. So this is Domino. Domino's a fun loving, always gambling. You know, she describes her powers as a roll of the dice constantly. So she's just this kind of fun loving, gambling, good time, sort of selfish, a little irreverent character, but always with this heart of gold, right? She will always put on hold these very self-serving endeavors to do the right thing when presented with it. For example, this is a much later thing. This is during the Wolverine leading X-Force times, but she will be separated she'll be away from the team for a while. She'll take a mission from what turns out to be the Assassin's Guild. She's just there for money, right? She doesn't really care. And all the bad things they're doing on this mission really not bothering her too much until she comes upon a group of women that are being trafficked. So from there, it's okay. I know she literally says something along the lines of, I'm a little bit angry about it because this means I can't go get all this money for myself, but you know, this takes precedence. I have to save these women. And this is Domino. This is why I like Domino. Kind of self-absorbed person until someone actually needs help or the right thing presents itself and she has to. I think it's a very good, very fun character.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of this X-Force run, this kind of ends her run, this particular run with X-Force. She will actually have to kill one of her former six-pack teammates and probably one of the last friends she had from her pre-X-Force, pre-mutant life, right? And this is when she has to, unfortunately, kill her six-pack partner, Grizzly. His brain is fried, he's off the deep end, and he just can no longer be alive. He's a threat to everyone and a threat to himself and just dying. He's already dying. So, of course, there's no guilt there associated with her, but it is a very sorrowful thing. From here, X-Force will disband for a while, and she's going to lead the X Corporation. So this is another aspect of Domino. She is a field leader. She is capable of leading teams and making these decisions. She's also decent in the corporate world. Her luck comes into play. She's a smart cookie. She understands the ebbs and flows of business. And it is during this kind of solo time away from the X-Men that Domino is going to start looking for her mother, Beatrice. And this is going to lead her to Project Armageddon. And this is what's going to lead her to her little brother, Lazarus. He is just a child when she finds him, still in the arms of Project Lazarus. And he's an extremely powerful mutant who can really affect the emotional and mental state of those around him. Domino is, through comic book MacGuffinery, impervious to this, as is his mother, Beatrice. But it turns out that Beatrice is crazy. Domino's going to find her through this as well, as Beatrice is the kind of third faction here. We've got Domino and Lazarus trying to escape Project Armageddon, and we have Beatrice, who used to work with Project Armageddon, but she has turned into a religious zealot, leading this group of seemingly acolytes to try to kill Lazarus because he is what Beatrice deems too powerful to exist. So Domino will be reunited with her mother and then seemingly kill her mother and escape with Lazarus. She will then leave Lazarus in the care of Father Rudolfo, the same father that raised her for a time in Chicago. But unfortunately, the final page of this book is Beatrice taking Lazarus for herself. Apparently, she didn't die. So we'll see if Marvel ever wraps up that particular thread. After this, she's going to be employed by SHIELD. They're going to reform Six-Pack for kind of government mercenary work. And this is going to bring her in direct conflict with Cable. Their mission is to actually kill Cable and Deadpool. Domino will not comply with this mission. She will essentially go back to loving Cable, because her and Cable were also romantic interest during their early time in X-Force. So this is going to reunite her with X-Force once again. Now, this is going to be lead us into Cable and X-Force, eventually the Rick Remender X-Force when Cable is out of the picture for a few years. Wolverine is leading the X-Force. This is when she will take that job, unbeknownst to her, for the Assassin's Guild and rescue her, and Wolverine will end up rescuing those women. She'll steal a bunch of money, keep a pretty sizable chunk for herself, but also give most of it away. Domino things. She's going to be around, right? During the 2010 era, she's going to be around in the background, always involved with X-Force. Usually she'll show up eventually if Cable or Deadpool are around long enough. She will be tasked on Utopia as being part of the security team to keep the island secure. When Utopia falls apart, she'll rejoin X-Force again. Then she will take over Deadpool's Mercs for Money outfit and lead it far more competently than Deadpool ever could have. She will join Old Man Logan's team for a while. She will lead a team of all female characters for a while in a series called Domino Hot Shots, written by Gail Simone. So I actually think it's pretty fun. Gail Simone's obviously a legend. And this is going to bring us up to the Krakoa era for Domino. And during, I'll just lay out what she's doing in Krakoa at the dawn of X, so you can go read through that and find out what's going on with her yourself. But initially, she, much like on Utopia, she's going to be part of X-Force, and X-Force operates as the kind of intelligence agency for Krakoa. So she's on the, it's still a What Works team, a team that's meant to do the dirty work, field led by Wolverine for the most part, I do believe, but I think Beast has an outspoken amount of power with that. You know, he's the Hoover leading the FBI in this Krakoa era. So take that as you will, and I mean it as sinisterly as you are thinking.
Not my favorite Beast.
Not my favorite Beast, but I quite like the story development because it lends to so many different stories, really.
For sure. And it's like we said last episode with the Cable, young Cable juxtaposition. They're trying stuff that they never tried with Beast before, right? Where he's doing the most questionable things he's done in his entire 60-year career, right? Where it's like, whoa. It's getting me thinking.
I think they do a really good job of walking you down that path.
Sure.
Beast, showing you how he gets here, showing how
it's paved with good intentions.
It's paved with good intentions, and the more power he gets and the more he thinks he's in the right, the more he's willing to use that power in wrong ways to do what he deems is the right thing. And from there, we've seen it in real life. We've seen it in fiction. From there, it's kind of a hard spiral downwards, right?
Krakoa era is great, guys. You should read it.
Truly. And that's going to almost bring me to my comic book recommendations. But first, we got to touch on Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool 2 to be specific. because that is our only MCU instance we have of Domino so far in this movie universe. And yeah, Deadpool 2. We sung praises of it last episode with Cable. We'll sing praises again. And I think a lot of the praises of this movie are Josh Brolin as Cable and Zazie Beetz as Domino.
I really do think she captures the Domino character very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
The power usage is fun. I don't know. The Domino action scenes are a little weird because the green screen is so off-putting for me.
But use of her powers is what you're saying?
The characterization and the use of her powers, all super, super cool and pretty spot on, honestly.
Yeah, she's a little OP.
Well, she is OP. She absolutely is OP.
No, I know. Yeah.
But it's not in a way that can really just, she can't just change the world with the snap of a finger, but it's more of a good luck trying to accomplish anything if Domino is directly opposed to you, because everything's going to go wrong for you. Your gun's going to jam. Your car's not going to start. Whatever.
No, absolutely. When I mean OP, I mean, like, it's like seeing it as a moviegoer. We're seeing like her brushing up on Neo levels of influence on the environment. 100%. Right? Yeah. And that's cool. That was a cool decision the filmmakers made, which I think works, especially in that Deadpool universe and how it's been established stylistically.
Agreed.
Right.
Agreed.
But Zazie Beetz, she's an incredible woman. I mean, every role she's ever been in, I've just been floored. I hope she returns for Deadpool 3. She's having a great run right now as Amber and Invincible. And Invincible's got its own high highs for the superhero universe, right? So her playing a main character in that is absolutely phenomenal. And I can't wait to see more Domino of her. And I think this entire cast should return for Deadpool 3. But we'll just see. We'll see how that goes, you know?
We will. And hopefully we will see relatively shortly.
Yeah. And if you like what she's putting down and her performance in Deadpool, I venture to ask you to maybe get out of your comfort zone and watch one of the best shows on television, Atlanta, because she's one of the main characters in that.
That
Donald
is
Glover
a
show.
That is a show I have been meaning to watch. So thank you.
It's like a modern Twin Peaks.
Oh, fantastic.
From the mind of Donald Glover. So, and I won't say any more than that, but she is absolutely phenomenal in that show as well. And I can't wait to see more of her doing Domino, because I think she steals the movie in a lot of ways.
She's good.
Yeah, she's real good. So we will see how the MCU transpires for these X-Force members in general, how this all goes, and what Deadpool's actually going to do in his third movie that directly ties him to the MCU. And right now we can only speculate and just wait. But we know it involves timey-wimey stuff.
There's so much time stuff in the early X-Force.
Yes.
And Cable stuff. I mean, if Cable's involved, there's time stuff.
100%.
Do my best not to get too far into the time stuff and just tell you what happened, because it's so confusing.
Well, and despite the MCU having missteps lately, Loki was not a misstep, and they actually laid out the entire concepts, time streams and all that really well. So I'm excited to see the foundation that Loki laid, what they do with that going forward, because it's been established that's how the time works in this universe, and that's how the alternate universes branch off, and et cetera, et cetera. So time will tell.
Convergence, man. It's coming.
It's coming. So Chris, close out our lore segment like you always do with your comic book recommendations on Miss Domino.
This is not my first time to recommend this, but I think it's a good time. Okay. Go ahead and read the 3-issue mini if you are down for something a little more mature. X-Force, Sex and Violence is going to be that 3-issue mini series of Wolverine and Domino kicking a lot of butt, saving some people. And it really does give a really good characterization of Domino. How she operates, how she thinks, how she talks. Very good stuff. Cable and X-Force, Volume 1 by Dennis Hopeless is a lot of fun. And then Domino, Hot Shots, Gail Simone. Give those a try.
And you gave a glowing recommendation of the Domino Hot Shots during the lore, right? So I think people got their synopsis of that brief, you know, enough to get you in there. So, all right. Very good, Chris. Well, let's jump right into Domino in Marvel Crisis Protocol and head over to strategy. Starting with, her name is Domino. Her alter ego is Nina Thurman.
And I would like to point out, Thurman is not her maiden name. We do not know her maiden name.
That's so interesting.
She took Milo Thurman's last name, and that is just the name we have been given in comics.
Good call out, Chris. She is a 3-threat character. On her healthy side, she has a stamina of 5. She's a small base, medium mover, size 2. Her defenses are 3-3-3, pretty basic. And on her injured side, she also has 5 stamina. What do you think about these stat lines, Chris, to start?
Seems like a 3 threat.
Yeah, it seems like an average 3 threat. And actually nothing standing out at all, which is unusual. We have some outliers with either stamina or defenses, but you're going to learn Domino probably can't have that. She's too lucky, and we'll talk about why later. Let's get into her attack. She does have 3, first of which being a physical attack. It's her automatic pistols at range 3, strength of 4, power cost of 0. After the attack is resolved, Domino gains 1 power, and when you hit a hit result on your dice pool after everything's been modified, you'll trigger rapid fire. After this stack is resolved, Domino may make an additional automatic pistol attack. The additional attack must target the original target character. The additional attack does not have the rapid fire special rule, so you don't get to do it 3 times, but a hit to get a rapid fire is pretty great, Chris.
4 dice is not a lot to try to fish for any result, but it being a hit and not a wild, very nice, because hits are so much easier to get.
So much easier, and we know how powerful rapid fires are in this game, and you know, it's been a minute since we had a true rapid fire. I know Deadpool has his bang, and that's a new version of rapid fire for him, and et cetera, et cetera. But been a minute in our show since we've done a rapid fire, and they're great attacks. I mean, we've learned in MCP, throwing more dice than your opponent throughout a game is just a guaranteed way to find spikes and to get more damage through. It's correct. Less about the massive dice pools, even though those are very effective. I think Malekith or Ghost Rider Spender, those are crazy. But at the end of the day, if you could just throw more dice in your opponent, that's just helpful, because you're going to have bad rolls, you're going to have good rolls, you're going to have amazing rolls, and rapid fire helps get around a lot of that. It is only 4 dice, but it's the best 4 dice in the game, because there's a chance to throw 4 more dice again, and it's 2 possible guaranteed power.
I love the guaranteed power. I really do.
That's probably the best part, right? And
especially when we get down to her superpower, yeah. Her next attack is an energy attack. It is Grenade Bounce, range 4, strength 4, power cost of 1. This attack ignores line of sight. The defending character does not benefit from cover. The targeted character will gain incinerate, no triggers. It just happens. On a wild, you will trigger explosive. Before damage is dealt, other enemy characters within range 2 of the target character suffer 1 damage. Love automatic damage like that. They have no chance to save it. Yep. I get, you know, some characters can pay to maybe reduce it, but it does take their precious, precious power for that to happen.
It's so good. And what a great representation of her powers, right? Where she's tossing a grenade. It's going over a building really high over there, and it's hitting the target she wants to hit, guaranteeing that incinerate, but also it might get a little lucky too and explode and do some more damage to people around it. So it's a great attack.
Do you remember those old McDonald's commercials? I believe they were with like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Over the backboard, off the scoreboard. She's the only character in Marvel that can do that. I guess maybe Bullseye could do that stuff too, but
yeah,
she's one of the few that could do that. And this is a really great way to illustrate that. She's just throwing this grenade in a general direction. It is going to bounce off of the things it needs to get where it needs to be.
Absolutely. And I think a good way to look at this power is, am I willing to pay 1 power right now to get a guaranteed incinerate on someone, right? Yeah, the answer is usually yes. And then the rest of it is just icing on the cake. Obviously, the explosive is the hardest part to get. But I mean, if you get some damage on top of the incinerate, you're happy, right? So this is a great way to start that X-Force sequence of events we were talking about last episode with Cable, where Cable's the can opener. Domino's the same way. She can pave the path with starting her turn off with an incinerate. Then she does maybe 2 rapid fires into an incinerated target, and then other people come in and dial in on that character later. This is a great tool against large characters as well, because it's just a guaranteed incinerate, right? It's better than throwing dice at them, because you're guaranteeing the whole round, or if not maybe more, you're just going to be rolling 1 less defense dice. And so you're just helping yourself out, take out that large character. So it's a really good spot for that. But she does have 1 more attack. It's range 3, same as her pistols. So her ranges are 3 and 4 only. It's an energy attack called Lucky Shot. Strength of 6, power cost of 3. This is her spender. The target character does not gain power for the damage dealt by this attack. And on a wild, you'll trigger stun. Give the target character enemy stun. This is great. This is just her getting that perfect shot on a character. Once again, you're really using this to not give someone power or to stun someone, and it's more niche case.
This feels like an attack you should not be looking to use all the time, but use it when needed, because that three power can be better used elsewhere with her superpower probability manipulation if you do not specifically need like an energy attack or just to not power up a character. It is very handy when you need it, but not very often.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about that superpower real quick, Chris, because it is a little bit complex and I want to cover some of the Eradon and stuff, but it is the whole reason you're playing Domino is the superpower, I think.
Correct.
It's reactive superpower called probability manipulation, costs X power. After Domino rolls attack, defense, or dodge dice, but before the crit step, so before you explode crits, she may spend any number of power to use the superpower. For each power spent, choose one skull and the results to treat as a crit for the remainder of the attack. Now, to clarify some of the stuff on this, originally you could overpay. So the example would be, oh, I see two skulls in the result. I'm going to pay for those to be crits before the crit phase. And I'm just going to pay two more power because if I roll into skulls, maybe I get more crits, I say in quotes. They did away with that. They cleaned it up. She can always overpay if you just want to get rid of power, but you're only changing the dice that are currently on the table to crits. So let's say you roll into more skulls. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So less reason to overpay now. Maybe you just overpay just to get rid of power so your opponent doesn't sap it from you or something, but there's rare instances where you don't want that. But what I do love about her power is it's giving her insurance and luck. And she's turning the one dice result in the game that doesn't do anything for anybody, usually. And she can pay power to know for sure those are going to be crits. And then now she can explode her dice with more crits, hopefully guaranteeing that rapid fire or guaranteeing more damage. And
exactly.
Keep in mind, this works for defense as well and dodge, making her extremely defensible because, yeah, she's only rolling three dice. But if she gets lucky and she rolls some natural crits or she rolls some skulls that are natural crits to her, if she can spend power, well, now her three dice got so much more explosive. And that's what it is. Her dice are just more explosive.
They absolutely are. Having access to an extra result that also gives an extra dice is pretty wild. This tends to make her put out more damage than you think she's going to.
Oh, for sure.
And she also tends to take a little bit more damage than you think she's going to because of this innate ability I'm going to touch on real quick. This is things tend to go my way. When Domino is attacking or defending, enemy characters do not roll additional critical results in their attack or defense rolls. So
they don't explode crits.
They do not explode crits at all, attacks or defense. She tends to do more than you really think she's going to. She tends to survive longer than you really think she should because of things like this. It's just hard to spike against her.
Absolutely. And to be clear, the crits are, and their initial roll will count against her, right?
Yes.
But they don't get to explode. So they're like permanently hexed when they attack her, which is great. And you pair this with probability manipulation and you can kind of see both sides of the coin. Chris is attacking me. He doesn't get his crits. I got lucky. I rolled some skulls. I'm going to explode them to give myself more defense dice. It's so good.
Each of these powers feed into each other and off of each other. It's really, really nice. I like to run her kind of on a flank for the most part, and then she can kind of drift into the middle of the table in rounds 2 and 3 and get those grenade bounces and really start spreading those incinerates to start opening up more of a lane for my melee characters to really get in there and do some damage. She also tends to soak up a lot of damage because of the not being able to explode crits, counting skulls as crits on her defense rolls. So she tends to be a pretty decent extract grabber. She doesn't have flight or roll wall crawler, and she's a medium move with a small base. So in that respect, not the best.
Yeah.
But a lot of times in X-Force, she's going to be your best option or one of your best options for an extract.
Yeah, she's got to have weakness, and the weakness is that she has no action economy, right? She has action economy when she's set up, absolutely, because she's throwing usually 16 dice at you, right, with two rapid fires.
That's what you want, yeah.
Which is what you want. And also what's crazy about her probability manipulation, Chris, which I want to shout out, is the fact that she has a gainer is crazy because...
It's massive.
you can set up probability manipulations on your second attack and stuff, guaranteed, no matter what. You're like, I'm ready to pay for a skull. Even I, for some reason, had zero power or one power this turn or whatever. So she's got so many things, and she's also a great character to go early in a round, because if she gets some power that she doesn't need to spend on probability from four gainers, what do you know? She's got four power to probability manipulate her defense, right? And to make her super tanky. So yeah, I think her biggest strength is how tanky she actually is on top of how good her attacks are. But the tough part of that is what you said. She is not mobile. She has no action economy. So when she has to chase, she hates that. She hates chasing. She likes sitting places and shooting at people, right? Deadpool's definitely got her beat in like the chase regard, right? Because he's got leg day now, things like that. So she likes to plant her feet somewhere. And yeah, she's unusually good at holding secures as well, because you can put her in a favorable matchup, maybe against a lower threat physical attack character, and she's just going to shrug off those attacks with her luck, you know?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. So it's really exciting. And I also think it's really exciting to bring her as a scalpel on your list to take out big characters, because what you can do is early in a round, Cable or her can go put an incinerator on someone, and then she can double or quad tap something. That's going to do massive damage to like a Hulk or something, and then just set up the rest of your team to finish him off.
It's also worth noting that those rapid fires are really great against characters with damage reduction.
Yeah.
Getting four attacks in where it's a minimum of one damage getting through every time because of a damage reduction is going to mean you can, if you get damage through, right, you're going to get four damage in your round, sure, potentially, instead, yeah, of just the two from two attacks from other characters.
Yeah, she can really tee people up, right? And she can get through those defenses on the damage reduction people, but even the characters with bigger defense dice pools, right? Because more attacks is just better. She's going to get through at some point. It's going to be explosive at some point, and she gets more chances at doing it on top of more chances at being lucky with her dice manipulation. So I think she's a phenomenal character. She can slot into any team quite literally. But before we talk about the teams where she fits, let's talk about one more X-Force card, Chris, continuing on our X-Force discussion and affiliation roundup and cards. And we got to talk about a card that Chris and I have dubbed the Domino card. It's not so much the Domino named card at all, but it is the thematic lore-ish card. It's pretty sneaky, sis, for X-Force.
I love this card. During the power phase, any number of allied X-Force characters may spend two power each to play this card. Enemy characters must be within range two of characters that spent power to target them with attacks this round. So you have super stealth.
It's
for
insane.
The entire round. This is massive on round two. Yeah. A lot of times, just 100% throws your opponent. It's just a huge monkey wrench into their plans, especially if they're a team that likes to dish out damage.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a hard counter to the gunline teams, but I think this card is even good against non-gunline teams, right?
It
I mean,
is.
There's few instances it's not great, like against the control teams that want to attack you at range two, but those are few and far between. The reason why you have this card in your 10 is X-Force, is it just completely shuts down a Guardians player, a Shield player, a Shadowlands Daredevil player, like all these powerful gunlines in the game, because you're essentially staggering their team. Right. And that's not what they want. They want to be at range shooting you twice, gun lining it up, re-rolling their guns, making you come into them. And now they actually have to come to you, get in melee range essentially, and shoot you one time. So I think it's absolutely an auto include in every X-Force list. And one of the reasons you're playing X-Force, it's like
absolutely.
Avengers Assemble for Avengers.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of the Domino card though, which is great. And it's also a great card with Domino too, because anything to slow down your opponent's attacks are really good for X-Force, because you're innately better at attacking. And when now they're forced to come to you and they only get one attack instead of two, they're in trouble because you're going to hit them back. And Domino loves that because she's probably surviving most one attack of any character in the game. That's just how it is. That's how her dice math works out. It's the combination of the no exploding, the probability manipulation, and all this where she can just weather most characters attacking her once, right? Where she gets in trouble is when she gets attacked multiple times over and over and over again, because that's how you take her out. That's really the only way you can take her out.
She will not stand up to being focused down.
It's just like a Spider-Man with Yes. Spider-Man, Spidey Sense rerolls, right? Where it's like, you never want to just attack them once or twice. That's a waste of your time because they're just going to shrug it off. But if you start focusing them, stacking incinerates on them, things like that, they will eventually go down and she will go down at that. But if she's got super stealth, she's super happy.
I think there was a time when I ran this with Gambit's Charming Thief.
Dark Past.
Dark Past. So it would be usually round two would be Dark Past because it was easier to get easier to keep your team within range three of each other on round two, and round three would be pretty sneaky, sis. And just,
I think it's phenomenal.
It's really gross.
You can even do round one, round two, right?
You can. Like
Guardians, yes. Or whatever. Because Dark Pass is free.
Yes, but everyone has to be within a certain range of Gambit.
Range three.
For it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this might be something I break back out because Bishop is breathing new life into the way X-Force should be played. Preserve the Dream is breathing new life into the way X-Force should be played. Might be time to bust Gambit back out. I know he's not the best three threat, but
he's a man of spikes. Yeah, for sure.
He's a man of spikes and he can get some stuff done. So we'll see on that.
No, I think it's absolutely worth bringing Gambit in your roster just for that combo of turn one into turn two or turn two and turn three and just getting your team up the board. And the theme makes a lot of sense too. It really works in a lot of ways. So if Guardians keep staying around and True. Shield keeps on rising again, I don't see why not.
I'm loving this rise of Shield, truly.
Back to where they were. Yeah. I mean, it's cool. It's good stuff. So let's talk about Domino in affiliation corner and where she fits, where she's affiliated, and then some places we could splash her. So she's affiliated in some great teams, Chris, and she's good in all of them. So let's just get that out of the way real quick. A-Force, of course she's with A-Force with all the other ladies, but then we also have Uncanny X-Men, Weapon X, and X-Force. All staples of these teams. Honestly, the worst team on here for her is Uncanny X-Men, and she's amazing in Uncanny X-Men, right? It's just, she's a staple of the other teams.
She's 100% a staple in X-Force. With X-Force, the way I play them at the moment, it is Cable, obviously. Deadpool, number two. It's usually Domino is my third model that I have to bring. She's part of my X-Force core almost every game.
Well, and let's not forget how incredible she is in Weapon X because of the, are you sure you want to remember? It was you, you know, where you get to add two defense dice. And then if you didn't suffer damage, you get to move short. Well, Domino is probably not going to suffer damage with five defense dice and probability manipulation and making your opponent's crits not work correctly. So she weirdly just synergizes with all these leaderships so well. I mean, the X-Force leadership, her getting one reroll, that could be the difference between three rapid fires or four rapid fires, right? I mean,
that's really what you use that reroll with her for, is to fish for that rapid fire.
Yeah. So you're just, the rapid fire math is already in your favor to get it off, right? So when you add rerolls on top of that, maybe an X-Force reroll, a Baron Zemo next to her. Well, now she's just getting the rapid fire. She just is, right? So that's one of those things where she just slots right in. And what I love about her in the A-Force shell in particular is she is tanky. She's a good person to go off on a flank by herself. But if she starts getting dealt damage, that's okay. She'll pass them off to the heavy hitters of the team or the bodyguards of the team. They can do their thing on the other side of the table, and she'll still be the solo that she is on the side and do her job, right? So
she's fantastic in A-Force.
And they got great cards too that she can use.
I know.
Her not being pushed, her being more defensive with her other allies around her when she's already a defensive character. Yeah, it's a very good spot for her. And X-Men is a little bit more interesting. You can obviously hop her. I played her in a lot of my X-Men rosters, though I think she's finally getting edged out by maybe Shadowcat, right? Things like that. Maybe Magic's coming back in full force. I think Magic is coming back a little bit.
Oh, that's exciting.
So I think Domino's getting edged out a little bit, but it's not because she's not amazing in X-Men. It's that with the nerf of the hop and the nerf of the cover, you're only bringing her as a tool to kill in X-Men. And typically in X-Men, you're not killing if your things are going your way with your objective spread. But if the opponent puts you on an objective spread that's killy, fighty, researcher, whatever it is, that's when Domino's a tool in your tool belt as X-Men. Okay, Magic or Shadowcat, you're staying home. Domino's coming in. You know what I mean?
I like her as a power battery in the Cyclops leadership quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. That was, I was all through the Stormlands for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think she can get stuff done in Cyclops, like in the sense of get damage through, right? To pass power to other people.
Absolutely. And just having the gainer period, being able, maybe you're focused a little bit less on throwing incinerates out with her. Maybe it's more so keeping her with 2, 3, 4 power so she can pass power off to get some bigger attacks done.
Yeah. No, I mean, maybe she's using that spender more with Cyclops, right?
Exactly.
I think she's great. Now, she doesn't have synergy with Professor X.
That was my next point. I do not think she has much synergy with Professor X's leadership.
No.
That should not keep really you from running her in the right situations.
Yeah,
she still will be affiliated. She still will have access to all the great cards because of that. And you'll be able to pass power to her when needed to make sure those incinerates go out, to make sure she's always got power to pay for probability manipulation. So not an obvious synergy there, but I don't think she's necessarily the wrong call with the right crisis setup going against the right team.
Yeah, no, that's the nature of a character like this, right? She's consistent. She's a workhorse character. You don't have to necessarily synergize the affiliation leadership with her, right? It just happens to be that the ones that she's in, for the most part, she has really good synergy with their leaderships, right? And the biggest call out, I think, to Weapon X, A-Force, and X-Force, like she just, those leaderships just work with the way she plays, right? Especially Weapon X and X-Force, where, you know, she's moving around being the solo three threat she is, and she's just better with their leaderships. So it's one of those things, she's a character you can play her anywhere, and let's talk about places you can play her outside of her affiliations, starting with some low-hanging fruit, but I think it's absolutely phenomenal. You can play her with classic Cabal or Sin Cabal, where it's essentially these things of either wide attrition or focused attrition, and I'm just bringing a consistent piece at a roster where I already have characters that give me rerolls because I've got characters like Zola, Zemo, Strucker that just give innate rerolls for my attrition plan, and what do you know, Domino slots right into that. And through that same lens, she slots right into Shadowland Daredevil and has lived there since his release, right? Because he gets more rerolls than Weapon X if your opponent's playing the game a certain way. And so her rapid fires are even more consistent in Shadowlands.
Truly. I don't think she's a bad call on any team. She really is a solid three threat that can just slot in anywhere. I think she's a solid, solid purchase because, like I said, you can use her wherever you want. So
yeah, even the pay to flip teams, right? Like Spider Foes and others, like she can fit because she is a power battery when she plants her feet, right? So she's happy to pay for pay to flips. She's less punished by it per se. And then, you know, all the way to like just reroll teams, Wakanda, Shield under New Tony, like,
yeah,
just let her unload her attack dice, right? And see what she does.
Big time.
I think with all that said, in lieu of going through every affiliation, you can just play her where you want. It's going to work. But I think we've talked about her main places, and they definitely should be explored more.
I agree 100%. Fury's Finest is supported by our wonderful patrons. You can become a Fury's Finest patron by going to patreon.com/Fury's Finest.
Find us online on all the different spaces. Find us on X at Fury's Finest Cast, Instagram and Facebook, and Twitch at Fury's Finest. Email us at furiesfinest@gmail.com. These are all the places you can find us.
Thanks to Approaching Nirvana for our show's music. And please help spread the word about the show. Rate, review, subscribe. Every little bit helps. All of it helps. You know, MCP is back, baby. It's pretty healthy game right now if Adepticon numbers are to be believed. So, you know, let's keep the momentum going and let's keep it rolling.
I fully agree. You can find me and Chris several spaces online. You can find me, Jesse, all at the same place at Jesse Aiken. JESSEEAKIN, X, Instagram, Discord, Longshanks, and check out my Star Wars Shatterpoint show, Hello There, a Star Wars Shatterpoint podcast. Everywhere podcasts can be found, where we're going to tell you about Star Wars Shatterpoint and the Star Wars universe. Chris, where can everyone find you?
Find me on Discord. I am Strong Style, Chris Finest in all MCP-related Discords. Please do not hesitate to ping me or chat at me. I will respond as soon as possible and be very happy to do it. You can also check me out on my NBA podcast, Orange Futures. We should have an episode out very soon.
Awesome. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this deeper dive into X-Force. And we're going to keep this X-Force Weapon X story going very soon.
Oh man, lots of weird time travel.
I love the time travel. And
it's frustrating.
Body slide by X to the next episode.
Stop. No, not allowed.
Thanks for listening, True Believers.
Excelsior.
The world has gotten even stranger than you already know.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
$10 says you're wrong.